I want to join with Gene in saying we are elated with your presence today. It's indicative of your interest in things divine, and we're glad to have you. As he mentioned, Britt and Casey are with us in our family, and of course, Larry and Judy and the rest of the family enjoying their presence this weekend. I want you to notice, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible, the expression, I ams of Christ. If you've studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus very often said, I am so-and-so, using the personal pronoun I and the verb am. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. He says, before Abraham was, I am. And he says, I am from above and you're from below, talking about the people. He used this expression, I am, many times, which signifies the various affirmation of Jesus with regard to himself. And I believe every statement he's made about himself. A man by the name of C.S. Lewis, who was an atheist, an agnostic, perhaps a cynic, he didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible like a lot of folks today. He didn't believe in any of that. But he got to studying the evidences. And he became a strong believer in the verbal inspiration of the Bible and the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and has written several books. One of them is titled Evidences That Demand Conviction or Belief. I have said from this pulpit that we believe everything because of evidence, and I believe that to be correct. I believe in God because of evidence. I believe in the Bible because of evidence. Some of it is external and some of it is internal, but that's why I believe. But C.S. Lewis made a statement about Jesus in connection with the I ams of Christ. He said Jesus was either Lord, or he was liar, or he was a lunatic. And there's a lot of truth in that statement. For example, Jesus said, I am from above. I and the Father are one, and I this and I am that. If Jesus didn't tell the truth, he would be the greatest liar ever perpetrated upon the human family. I have heard people say, Ward, I don't believe that Jesus is deity, and I don't believe he's the Son of God, and I don't believe he's the Savior, but I believe he was a great philosopher, and I believe he was a good man. That can't be so. How could a good man claim to be a lot of things that are false? It's either all or nothing at all. You either accept the I ams of Jesus, that he came from above, that he is the Son of God, or else you make him a liar. That's axiomatic. If I were to go through the country and say, I'm from above, tell people and preach, I'm from above, you're from beneath, but I'm from above, I came from God, I and the Father are one. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. And if you drink this water, you'll never thirst. You say, Hoagland is a lunatic. He's crazy. And I would be. And not only would I be crazy, but I would be a liar. Because I didn't come from above. And I am not the bread of life. But Jesus said he was. Matter of fact, he said, I am this and all of the things that I mentioned and a lot of others. He said, before Abraham was, I am. What the Lord is saying is, I existed before Abraham. The Jews didn't like it. A lot of folks today don't like it. But it's the truth. Because he was with the Father before Abraham was ever born. And so these I ams of Jesus are true statements. They're not false. And you either have to accept them as truthfulness, or else you have to make Jesus a falsifier. A lot of folks haven't thought about that. You either with him or you're against him. You either believe what he said about himself in all of these I ams, or else you say, well, Lord, you just didn't tell the truth. And a good man doesn't lie. So Jesus, if he made all of these affirmations and they're not so, he is less than a good man. Because he made a lot of brags that are not so. I don't believe that. I believe Jesus is everything he claimed to be. And he could truthfully say, I'm from above, you're from beneath. I think part of that is referring to the virgin birth. You know, Jesus didn't have an earthly father. All of us had an earthly father. Jesus didn't have one. He was born of the virgin. I'm from above, he said, you're from beneath. And that's what he's talking about. And therefore, I want to talk for a little while about some of these I am's of Jesus, and especially the one in John 10 where he said, he is the door, I am the door. And he said, I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. These are what we call metaphorical expressions coming from parable. A parable is a prolonged metaphor. And Jesus used parabolic teaching throughout his ministry. And what we have to do, someone has said that a parable is a physical story with a spiritual meaning, and that is truthful. But we have to know what Jesus was teaching when he gave us a parable. In John 10, he gave us the parable of the shepherd and the sheep and the sheepfold. And matter of fact, he gives us more than one parable here. And after he got through with these parables, the Jews came to him in the latter part of the chapter. And they said, Lord, tell us plainly whether you're the Son of God. They were confused. They didn't really understand this parable, and I can see why, because it isn't as easy as you think. I've studied it a great deal, and sometimes I'm a little confused by it. It's where he says that he's the good shepherd of the sheep, and then he said he's the door. So I'm going to read it to you, and you've seen it on the screen, and we're going to try to figure out what the Lord's talking about here, because he's teaching us a lesson. But in it, he says, I am this and I am that. He says here in verse 1 of chapter 10 of John, he said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, some translations say, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Well, Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep, all right, but he said, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. You've got to enter the sheepfold, he said, by the door. The question is, what's the door and what is the sheepfold? Well, normally I would say that the sheepfold is the church, but that gives me some problems because he's going to lead the sheep in and out for a pasture, and you don't go in and out the church. So I sort of dismiss that idea when you study the parable in its completeness. But he said, he that entereth not by the door. Well, what is the door? Well, I believe the door is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. And I believe that what Jesus is saying in this parable is that I entered by the door, but all other false Christs and the ones who claim to be the Messiah, they climbed up some other way, and they're a bunch of thieves and robbers. And he said, I want you to know that I am the true Messiah. I am the true Christ. And there are some others who have come before. I tie this into John, the 5th chapter, where Jesus says in verse 39, he says, search the scriptures. Some translations say you do search the scriptures. He says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. He used the pronoun me. What did he mean by that? He meant these Old Testament scriptures pointed to him. And that's exactly right. He said, they spoke of me. They didn't have the New Testament then. They only had the Old Testament. So what he's saying is these scriptures in the Old Testament point to me, and I'm entering in by the door, because the door refers to these Old Testament prophecies of Jesus, and these false Christs do not fulfill them. I believe that's what the Lord's talking about. As I said, you study this, and it isn't as easy on the surface as you might think, but when you study the totality of it, he said, he that enters in the door is a shepherd of the sheep. But if you enter some other way, you're a thief and a robber. And I believe that Jesus is talking about the fact that he's the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Now in John 5, he says, "But ye will not come unto me that you might have life." He said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me because Moses wrote of me. Well, Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, didn't he? He says, Moses wrote of me. That tells us that those Old Testament scriptures existed during the days of Jesus. They had them. They had scripture. And I believe that. And he says, Moses wrote of me. He didn't write of these other thieves and robbers who entered in some other way. They didn't come in by the door. The door refers to these prophecies. The doors were the prophecies. Are you listening to me? You see the point? And John 5 verifies that. He says, the scriptures wrote him. He says, if another comes in his own name, you'll follow him. But he says, you won't follow me. He's working the Jews over and he's telling them off that they wouldn't come to him, but they'd go to some false teacher who entered by some other way besides the door. And he says, they're a bunch of thieves and robbers. That's who the thieves and robbers are. Who are these thieves and robbers? They're the false messiahs. They're the false Christ. And they entered some other way except by the door because they weren't the fulfillment of prophecy, but Jesus was. For example, the Bible says that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And Malachi says he'd be born in Bethlehem of Judea. These false Christs weren't born in Bethlehem of Judea, but Jesus was, so he came in by the door. Isaiah said he would be born of a virgin. The false Christs weren't born of a virgin, but Jesus was, so he came in by the door. You see that? He came in by the door, but the thieves and robbers came in some other way. They're false Christs. And it was absolutely necessary, ladies and gentlemen, for the Jews in the days of Jesus to be able to identify Jesus as the true Messiah and not as a false one, because they had some false ones. Just as it's absolutely incumbent upon you today to identify the Church of the New Testament by the Word of God, because there are 1,200 denominations in the world, and you've got to be able to identify the true church by the Bible. The same principle would be entering by the door. You see that? Someone says, but that'd take a lot of study. I understand that. That's why Jesus said, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me. That is, you've got to get your head into the book of God, into the Word of God, in order to identify these things. And they had to get their head into the book of God in order to identify Jesus. There were many people who claimed to be Christ. Someone said, well, if I'd have lived back there, if I'd have found some handsome man that had a good oratory and he was good at speaking, said, I'd have probably followed him because he'd have sounded real good. Yes, and you wouldn't have followed Jesus. You'd have followed the thief and robber. You see, you identify the true church today by the Scriptures, not by what you think, not by a big building, not by the fanfare and the pastors and the associate pastors and all. You do it by the Bible, the Word of God. Isn't that simple? That's how simple it is. But someone says, that demands study. Well, that's why Jesus said, search the Scriptures. I don't deny that it takes study. I've never denied that. And you're going to be led astray if you don't study the book. If you go to school and you take an examination, the teacher's going to give you an examination over the things in the book. If you say, well, but that'd take time to study the book. Well, that's sad news, but you get an F. You got to get your head into that science book or history book or whatever it is in order to pass the test. And you understand that in physical things. Why can't you understand it in spiritual things that you've got to get your head into the book? You understand it in going to school. You should understand it in religious matters. But people don't want to study the Bible. The Bible is used for keeping important papers and baby's hair and things like that instead of studying. It needs to be studied, meditated upon. I've been in a number of hotels and motels in my life, and the Gideons put a Bible in there most of the time. And I pick up that Bible. And I look at it, and it's brand new. Has not been used. Even when you turn the pages, they crack and pop because it's never been used. Now, if it was some pornographic magazine, it'd be worn out. But not the Bible. It's brand new. People are not studying the Bible. And yet Jesus said, search the Scripture. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so when our Lord says here in this parable, and it's a wonderful parable, I like it very much. Matter of fact, I like all of the parables in this chapter. He said, he that entereth by the door into the sheepfold is a shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep. He calls himself a shepherd of the sheep. He is the true shepherd. And he entered in by the door because he fulfilled the prophecies and everybody else was a thief and robber. But he that entereth through the door into the sheep is the shepherd of the sheep. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. And he wanted the Jews to be able to identify him as the true Messiah and not as a false one. He didn't want them following a false Christ. Some of them did. And many of them rejected Jesus because they didn't know the Scriptures. You got to know the book. You got to know the Word of God. Now, I didn't fix it that way. That's just the way God fixed it. You've got to get your head into the Bible and study the precious Word of God. We sang the song, Chris led us in the song, Give Me the Bible, the Holy Word. Well, that's right. It is the Bible. And it's been given to us. It's verbally inspired. You know, when we talk about the Bible being verbally inspired, we actually mean the words of the Bible are inspired, not just the thought of it, but the very words of the Bible are inspired, according to 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, since all Scripture is given by inspiration, which means God breathed, by the way, that God breathed into these 40 people who wrote your Bible, through the Holy Spirit, God breathed into them and gave us this book you have, known as the Bible. And that's why it's important to study it. Somebody said about members of the Church of Christ said that they know the Bible better than the average person. And I consider that a compliment, because you've got to know the Bible in order to be saved. It's a compliment to say somebody knows the Bible, because we have so few who do. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, as I gave you in John 5:39. And so what we have here is in this great parable of Jesus is identifying Jesus as the true Messiah. He says to him, and I'm going to drop down to the next verse 3. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth them his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Well, now here we've got to figure out, number one, who the porter is. And then we've got to figure out who the sheep are. Because Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. And he says, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. I believe the porter is John Baptist. You know, the clarion voice of John the Baptist broke the silence of the Old Testament Scripture. And John says, I'm not he, but he pointed to the Lamb of God. That Jesus said, he's the Lamb of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. And he said, I'm not he. I must decrease, but he's going to increase. So the porter opened. He was a harbinger. He was a heralder. That is, John Baptist was. He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Therefore, John the Baptist, being the porter, opened the door for Jesus during his ministry. He sure did. And I believe that someone had to be the porter. And I believe it was John. And he says to him, that is the shepherd of the sheep, the true, the one that entered by the door, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Who are the sheep? Well, I believe the sheep are the ones with the good and honest hearts among the Jewish people or among any people. Someone said, well, but the sheep were the people who were Christians. Later on, they are referred to as Christians, but not here. Here, the sheep represent the people with the good and honest hearts who would hear Jesus and follow him. And I'll go into that in more detail as we get over into the chapter. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Notice they were sheep before they followed him. And you can't be a Christian unless you follow Jesus, but they hadn't followed Jesus when they were sheep. Did you notice that? You've got to study meticulously. Close, watch the text closely. You see, or you'll be led off. They were sheep before they followed Jesus. You see. But who were they? Well, he said in the parable of the sower and the seed, he said the seed enters the good and honest hearts of people. So there are people who have good and honest hearts and who are seeking the truth. And I believe they were the sheep in this case. Because among some of the Jews, they were looking for the Messiah. They were honest. They weren't like the Pharisees, dishonest and prejudiced and biased and all of that. But they were looking for Jesus and they found him because they were sheep. And as Jesus said, my sheep follow me. And he said, I'll lead them out. And I insist today that if you find someone who has a good and honest heart and is really trying to find out how to become a Christian, God will help them. I told you that in the class this morning. God will help them find the truth. Seeking ye shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you. But you've got to do your part. You've got to seek him first. Someone said, well, it looked like God would just come down and force me to be a Christian. He doesn't do it that way. You've got to do your part. And your part is to seek him. And if you seek him, he'll help you. And if you have an honest heart, he'll help you find the truth. And I believe that will happen today just as it has always happened. And I believe when he selected Saul of Tarsus to be an apostle, the Lord says, I've appointed him. Why did he appoint him? Well, he knew he had a good and honest heart. And he knew when Saul learned the truth, he'd change his religion, which he did. Saul became a Christian. Even though he was a persecutor, made havoc of the church, arrested Christians beforehand, but he did it honestly. Paul said he did it in ignorance and unbelief. He told Timothy that. But later he learned the truth, and when people who have been led off learn the truth, they're going to do better when they learn better. A dishonest person won't do that. They won't do that. Paul was an honest person. Lydia was an honest woman. In Acts 16, she was worshiping down by the riverside under the law of Moses. Paul went down there and found Lydia and this group of women meeting for prayer meeting service. And he taught her the truth. The Lord opened her heart. And she attended unto the things spoken by Paul and was baptized, she and all of her straightway, her household. Lydia was an honest woman, but she didn't know the truth. But when Paul taught her the truth, what did she do? She accepted it. She accepted it. If she'd have been a dishonest woman, what would she have done? She'd have probably said, Paul, you can peddle your religion somewhere else. I'm going to believe what I want to believe, and I was brought up this way, and I'm not going to change, and you just find your way back into town, friend. Did she do that? Is that what Lydia told Paul? She knew he was telling the truth. She checked him out. She searched the scriptures. She found out, and so what did she do? She obeyed the gospel. That's my point. God knew that Paul was an honest man. Paul was a sheep. So in the text here, he had a good and honest heart. And Jesus said, the sheep will follow him. He said, my sheep will follow me. And I believe they will. And I still believe they will. I believe we have people with honest and good heart. They may not be Christian at this time, and they may not even know anything about the church of the Lord. But if they'll study the Bible, they'll find out. They're sheep. Did you notice the text? Read the text, my friend. He that entereth in not by the door is a thief and a robber. The true shepherd of the sheep enters by the door. He fulfilled scripture based on the Bible. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's what Jesus said. Beautiful indeed, a wonderful parable. And John the Baptist opened the door. Jesus came in through the door, as it says here. And as a result, he said, my sheep, and he said, I lead them out. In other words, I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. I lead them out. They find pasture and are nourished. Jesus. You know, the shepherd back in those days usually had a cane that he carried around, and he used that not only to guide himself and to help himself over the hills and the rocks and all. And they say that the sheep really love the shepherd and would know his voice. As a matter of fact, later on we'd read that they know the voice of the shepherd. And I've been told, even in the East today, where they have these shepherds, that the sheep can identify his voice, but they can identify a stranger's voice and they won't follow him. But when that real shepherd calls them, the sheep come. They still today, those sheep know that. And Jesus was using this in his teaching as in regard to the church and in regard to the scriptures. And he says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There it is. They know whose voice? Well, they know the voice of the shepherd. And a part of that knowing the voice is knowing that he was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And that's part of that voice. They know their Bible well enough to know that Jesus is separated from all of these thieves and robbers, he calls them, who enter in some other way except by the door. And when he putteth forth, they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow. Who is it that won't follow it? It's these people who know the book. They know their Bible. And he says they won't follow a stranger. Other people will, but these sheep won't. They can't be led off because they know the book. Are you following me? You see how simple that is? Listen to this. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know the voice of strangers. They know two voices. They know the voice of the true shepherd, and they know the voice of a stranger. And if you're indoctrinated in the Word of God, you know when a man's preaching the truth, and you know when he's preaching error. You can identify him because you know the book. You've read it. You've studied it. You've meditated upon it. You love it. And you're going to follow it. That's all Jesus is saying. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, it's one of the most beautiful texts you'll find in the Bible is John 10 about Jesus being the good shepherd of the sheep. But you have to study it closely, the entire context. I hope you're a sheep today and that you're willing to hear the voice of the Master and come and obey the gospel through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, be inducted into the family of God, and live according to the teaching of the Bible, that when the lengthening shadows of life cross the horizon of eternity, you'll be prepared to meet God, ready to meet him. And lay aside your battered, shattered army upon the fields of controversy, hanging it upon the jasper walls of the New Jerusalem, and live forever with the Lord. We hope if you're here, you'll come today. Shall we stand as we sing our invitation song?